Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, July the 9th, 2017.
You to stand with me. Pastor Ben's already alluded to the fact that he's speaking on pain and loss this morning, and our foundation is in Christ, right? So whatever you're going through today, we trust that your foundation is just that, Jesus Christ. How firm a foundation.
Held by inversion, hold all my
those are many.
My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh my God, you will not delay, my refuge and strength await. I will not fear, His promise is true, my God will come through, always, always. Trouble surrounds me, chaos around me, my foe will rest me. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone.
Christ alone. Cornerstone. Weak made strong. In the same. Christ the Lord, cornerstone.
I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. This is our opportunity as we continue in worship to give our tithes and offerings, and we're going to have a special time during the offering. But as we get started, John, would you please ask the offering? Well, this morning we have some special guests with us, our missionaries, the Pimentels from the Dominican Republic, and they're going to share with us as we continue with the offering. They're going to give us a report, so I'm going to ask them to come down and share some exciting news that they have. Been looking forward to this as we have known that they've been coming. And I don't know who's going to start off, but I will hand off the microphone to one of you.
Good morning, church. It's so good to be here with y'all. First of all, we want to thank you for all your support and all your encouragement to us. We are so grateful for the church families and the way that you are using to God and be part of our ministry. As you know, we have to be serving in Dominican Republic in the city San Pedro de Macorís with the team Gary and Ali Hill. We have seen the ministry continue to grow, and we are learning a lot during this time. But God opened the door to new opportunities in the ministry that Diana is going to share with you.
As many of you also know, this past week we were commissioned out by our church in San Pedro to help start up a new ministry in a city about an hour east called Higüey. And you might have heard on our video that was actually playing at the lobby, so thank you for that. But that Higüey is actually one of the most Roman Catholic influenced cities, or the most Roman Catholic influenced city in the Dominican Republic. There's a very large basilica there that thousands of Dominicans pilgrimage to every year to worship Holy Mary. And it's an estimated 90% of the population there is Roman Catholic. So there's just a very great need for solid evangelical churches there, just among all the religiosity and the ritualism. Even the believers that we've met there struggle a lot with traditionalism and legalism, just because the idea of a works-based salvation is so prevalent there.
We're going to work alongside with Miguel and Noemi Mercedes. They are a Dominican family who used to serve in our church, and Miguel was my spiritual father. He was the assistant pastor in our church, and Noemi was the children's ministry director. It's good to see how God has been using them, and amazing to see all that they've been doing this year in Higüey, and we're so excited to work with them this year.
They're currently working with a small group of believers there, and they're kind of babies in the faith, but they're very hungry to learn and to grow in the gospel. And Pastor Miguel's kind of been teaching them, going through a series, teaching them foundationally what it means to be a Christ follower, what a gospel-centered church looks like, and so they can actually formally become a church and begin to impact their community. There's a lot of work to be done, and Miguel and Noemi are really excited to finally have some help with all of the work. But I think that we might actually be more excited just to follow the call that God has placed in our hearts to serve in an area of great need and to help start a ministry and a church from the ground up. We will be working with evangelism, discipleship. Jincy will be helping with preaching. There's also a need to start up a youth ministry, a children's ministry, medical ministry. There's so many opportunities that we are excited to see how God's going to open up each of those doors for us.
What is exciting about this ministry is what Diana said, we have a lot of opportunity to work there. But the heart of this ministry is discipleship. We're going to invest in people, and through the Word of God, they grow and become to equip to lead this ministry that we'll be helping to establish.
And so that's the ultimate goal, is to make disciples that make disciples, that become leaders in the church, that we can just help them to establish these ministries. And really, it's the Lord's church plant. It's the Lord's ministry. And so we're just excited to see what opportunities that he gives us, and we're just open to serve in those areas. So as you guys can tell, we're very, very excited about going and seeing the next steps that the Lord has for us. We recently moved out of our apartment, and all of our stuff is in storage that we were living in San Pedro. But unfortunately, we're not able to finalize our move to Higüey until we have enough funding to be able to return to the DR. We're currently at 61% funded, which sounds like a big obstacle. But God. God has been so faithful and always providing, and we know that since he has called us to Higüey, that he'll be faithful in getting us there. And so we ask that you guys as a church, that you be praying for us as we travel and we support Raise. We're so grateful for the financial support that Grace has always been faithful in giving us, and that's because of faith promise giving that you all make. We're also so grateful for those of you, there's several of you here in this church that have gone above and beyond that and even joined our personal support team. And we're just so grateful for that. You guys know that missions isn't just about us going or other missionaries going. We couldn't be able to serve as effectively or even be able to go if it weren't for people like you and churches, individuals who partner with us in ministry, both financially and through prayer. And so if you feel like God is moving in your heart, maybe to ask us more, like you want to find out more about our ministry or what it means to be part of a personal support team, we would love to talk to you about it.
We're going to be outside after the service, and we have our new prayer card to actually have our kids on them. So it's not just me and Diana. So you want to go and ask some questions, we're going to be more than happy to respond. And thank you very much for everything. God bless you.
All right. Don't go away. Yeah. All right, so I don't know if you guys caught this. You know, for those who don't know Gen Z, so he is obviously from the Dominican, and he introduced himself and said, "How y'all doing?" You have the right kind of proper Southern English. This is good. You're doing it right. This is great. So very excited about these two, especially as we as a church are kind of ramping up our partnership even more in the Dominican now to be able to spread that out to some church planting. And so we're going to have some conversations about that while they're here. Also, did want to mention, well, we've got the whole St. Patrick family out here anyway. But, you know, we've got Danae out here from Hungary. So we want to say hey to Danae, and hopefully we'll get her up here as well. But make sure you connect with them after the service as well. So let's pray for you guys. Father, we do just thank you so much for the Pimentel family and just the work that you are doing with them, have been doing with them in San Pedro and as they move to Higüey. God, we pray that you would provide for them in every way, the prayer support, the finances, and the direction of ministry, that you would do wonderful things there as you have already begun to do. So God, may we be a part of encouraging them and sending them out to do this work, all for your glory and by your Holy Spirit's power. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, we continue our summer choirs for our kids at this time. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we'll dismiss our kids to the summer choirs. If you're visiting with us and need help, right out the center door here, you'll find some folks that can direct you to those classrooms. So let's sing together. You call me out upon the water. You call me out upon the water.
Start now, and I will call upon.
Jeremy, I'm going to ask you to do something you don't normally do. If you would back up on there, go to the slide that says, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. Yeah. For my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Go on to the next one there. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Let's carry on a little bit. Let me see how far this goes again here, just to be reminded of this. Go one more. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. I read a blog, and this, none of this is even in my message for today, but I read a blog, probably been a couple years ago now, that simply said, stop singing oceans. And here's the reason why. It wasn't like, hey, this is a bad song, we don't like who wrote it. I'm sure there's plenty of that out there too, because, you know, there's always somebody to complain about something, right? But here is the issue with it. Okay, back up to the Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. That's really, this is the message for today. This is a lot of it. I mean, our actual message that we're talking about today. Do you really want to pray this? Can you sing this honestly? And that's why the writer in this kind of little article was just saying, stop singing this. Because so many times we don't believe this. Like, we don't really, say we, me too. I don't want the Spirit to take me into uncomfortable, hard places. We freak out over the smallest little things. And we're saying, take us where our trust is without borders, where anything can happen. Whether it's pain, whether it's suffering, whether it's something that's just not my preference in my church. It's not the way that I would like it. Lead me there. Why? Carry on the verses on the screen there. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Let's get into the message. 10 days ago, I think it was about 10 days ago now, I was sitting with a couple of guys that are in a discipleship group with me, and we were talking about prayer. And it wasn't like these things were related to the message, it just happened to come up at similar times. And we started talking about this guy, this friend of ours, that is going through some very serious health issues. And we are all praying for him. And that's the cool thing about this whole thing, is that there wasn't a question of, are you praying for him? It was just, okay, what are you praying for him? Because we love him very much. And so I asked the question then, what are we praying for him? What are you guys praying for him? And because he is so sick, healing was the first thing that we talked about. And later we started talking about learning and growing and connecting with Christ through all of it. But I asked the question of them and of myself too, because anytime I'm, you know, when I'm preaching, I hope you guys understand, I say this all the time and really mean it. I talk to myself up here and then you guys get to listen in, right? This is all just stuff that goes on in my mind. And it's the same thing when I'm in these groups with people, is I'm just learning along with other people. And so I asked, why are we praying for healing? It's a pretty obvious answer, right? We want him to be healed. That's why you pray for healing. We want him to be with his family, and quite frankly, we want him to be with us. Why? Is that really what's best for him? Because we are pretty certain as anyone can be about another person, that he is a believer. And so if he's not healed here, he goes to heaven. Is this a problem? I mean, no. If he experienced that, would he ever want to come back from that once he's had that experience? And so we look at the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul says that, and he says this in Philippians, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. He is gaining something. It is better for him if he can go on to be with the Lord. That's what he's looking for, and yet staying here to live is Christ, and there's a great joy in that too. So we think about this guy. What about his family? What about his friends? What if his death led his friends and his family closer to the Lord? What about, I mean, he's got to provide for his family, right? So obviously they're going to miss him like crazy too, but what if the family and others, they see God more, they rely on him and the church that he's given them more because of their suffering? Is it worth it? I mean, because they're going to see him as believers. They'll see him again anyway. And I think most of you know that I come to these kind of questions and these kind of thoughts from a place of experience. What about the provision? For one thing, okay, obviously, you know, there's the little things, you know, okay, this guy's probably got insurance, right? So some of the finances are probably taken care of, but still, there's a church. So what about the care? What about the love for the family that they're going to be missing out on? Isn't that an opportunity for us as a church, if it's, or, you know, wherever their church may be, to glorify God and to stand out as something different from the rest of the world because we are caring for a widow and a family? Of course, then you get back on the flip side, right? Because this is kind of what Paul is saying, to live as Christ, to die as gain. Well, on the flip side of things, healing, you know, as we're talking about prayer, if we're praying for healing, that's a miraculous healing is going to bring God incredible glory too, right? So what do we do? And of course, if he's here, if he remains here and he's been miraculously healed, that means that there's more time for him to live as Christ. It is more opportunity for him to bear Holy Spirit fruit, to bring God glory. So, as we're talking about this, this is really a conversation that we had that has stuck in my mind. What should we pray? What should be our biggest concern? As we look at Scripture, we find that in all things, glorifying God and enjoying God, that is supreme. That's our greatest focus in everything that we do and everything that we're about. How do we do that? God tells us that in his commands are kind of summed up. It should be that we are making replicating disciples. We're making disciples and that we love God and we love others. And so that tells me then that if that's what we're supposed to be doing, those are the kind of things that we should be praying. If you remember James 4, we did a series in James last year. Last week, we talked about James 4 a little bit more. Why don't we sometimes get what we pray for? Is it because we don't have faith? Sometimes. Not always. Would that mean then that if we really had faith, if that's what we believe, that if we just have enough faith, we get anything we want, that would mean that nobody ever gets sick and nobody ever dies, right? But it can't be that way because that's not how God set the world up. God says there's going to be suffering. It's going to happen despite whatever a prosperity preacher might be telling people. So what about when there's these kind of competing prayers? We see that kind of with the Apostle Paul, right? That he's talking about, okay, I'm in jail. He's got people who are wanting to pray for him to be released from jail. He's just saying, no, I want to stay in here. I'm having a good time with these people. I read somewhere, and I can't remember exactly where it was, that Paul's guards had to constantly be changed out because they were constantly getting saved. And people were, and the guards were getting tired of this, so they had to keep changing to new people. They didn't want the other Christians with them all the time. But you have these kind of competing prayers. The people, you know, Paul kind of welcomes death, but he sees that life is in there, and both of them are noble options. But then James says that we pray selfishly. So why do we pray selfishly? Because we're selfish, right? And we are consumed by the things of the world and things being the way that we desire them to be, things being comfortable. And so we have this whole conversation, and then we kind of come down to, okay, should we stop? I think it was one of the guys asked this, but should we stop praying for healing? I don't think so. I mean, I look in God's Word, and I see that God heals people, and he desires for people to be healed, and he loves people. I don't have any plan personally to stop praying for people's healing. That's what I desire for this friend of ours. That's what I desire for others who are hurting and suffering. And so because that's what is the desire in my heart, I want to take that to the Lord. It's not like he doesn't know this anyway. Because I can't do anything about it myself. So we take it to the one who can. And so that's kind of where we left off this conversation. And there's a few things you can learn from that conversation. And one of those is that I don't have it all together. I don't have all of the answers. Is anybody in here surprised by that? A couple of hands would have been nice. Thank you. I got one back there. All right. All right, number two, being in one of my discipleship groups can be kind of confusing and frustrating sometimes, but hopefully it's worthwhile. Sorry to all of you who are. But here's the other thing that we see in that, is that prayer in the midst of pain is really complicated sometimes. So I want to work through that a little bit together today. Let's pray. Father, as we come into you, to your word, and we just see that there's pain constantly, and so I pray that you would clear away all of those things that are just kind of muddying the waters of what your word says about how we deal with pain or how we should pray about these things or how we should think about it, and just let us focus on your truth and let that kind of search our hearts and show us where we're not aligning with your truth so that we can be transformed in a way that we pray as you have called us to pray in the midst of pain and to pray for others that way. That we would even be able to sing this song, this Ocean's Song, and truly mean that, welcoming even pain if it means more of you. And show us where we have the fear, where we fear those kinds of prayers and where that reveals our idols. And God, comfort us in the midst of us with your truth and with one another and by your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Throughout life, we confront pain. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. There's a few passages we're going to go to here. So, you know, if you're using an actual handheld Bible there, and, you know, or your phone or whatever, you may want to mark a few different passages. But here in 2 Corinthians, we're going to be there for a lot of the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, because of the surprising greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. So Paul's just been telling them about this really amazing stuff that he's been allowed to see. But because of that, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Paul has suffered. I mean, we see this throughout Scripture. He has suffered beatings and jail and shipwreck and sickness. And yet, he still has this other thorn in the flesh of some kind. There is something that is ailing him that is just a constant problem. We don't know what it is for sure. Most seem to think that it is something with his eyes because of what we see in other passages in Scripture. And we, for looking at pain, we can focus on so many different aspects of the Apostle Paul's life because there is so much pain. And there are loads of other people in the Bible that we could focus this investigation into pain on because the Bible is full of pain. And we're going to look at some of those. But I chose to focus on this one aspect, this thorn in the flesh for Paul, because it gives us, in this constant suffering, this ongoing suffering, it gives us some really good perspective on pain. And what we see first is that pain impacts everyone, even the most devout Christians who are serving so hard and so passionately for the Lord, and sometimes especially those who are more devout and serving the Lord so strongly. Pain and loss, they are probably one of the most universal parts of existence, parts of life, even though some people endure more than others. Y'all know people like that who just seems that, man, they're constantly getting hit with stuff. Somehow so many of them endure. At some point, everybody faces loss, the loss of health, the loss of mental capacity. Some have never had it in the first place. Some, you know, like I said, I'm speaking to myself, right? So we lose loved ones. We lose direction, so on and so on. There's all these different things that we lose, and it causes pain. But you know what is pretty much as universal as pain itself? It's looking for meaning and for purpose to something to find in the midst of that pain or coming from that pain or a reason for that pain. That's why there's this consistent question when people want to attack Christianity in particular. They ask this one question that people seem to think is really hard. This is actually the easiest one for me to answer, but it's a question, why do bad things happen to good people? The Bible is actually really clear on that. Well, the reason that bad things happen to good people, it only happened one time, and it was this guy named Jesus. And it happened to him so that he could save all of us. It happened to him because he chose to allow that to happen to him. For us, for his glory. Because then the Bible tells us that there is none who is righteous, not even one. And so we all deserve hell. And so if we really want to look at pain and suffering in this world, we've got to look at this from the perspective of our worst times, the worst things we go through in this life are actually God's mercy on us because we're still living, and it's better than hell. Dave Ramsey fans out there, if you listen to him on the radio, what's he going to say every time you say, Dave, how you doing? Yeah, better than I deserve. And that's true. No matter what we're going through, it is better than we deserve. That's a hard truth, but it is the truth. Part of the human existence is trying to find some reason or some sense of purpose in our suffering. Some say it's something like a karma, where you are suffering because of something you've done in this life or something you've done in a past life. Others say that it is something along the lines of trying to be a cleansing or a purging or some kind of test in your life. even if you talk to a devout atheist, if you really walk things back all the way, you're really just getting to pain as a part of natural selection and advancing humanity, right? Because how we handle pain or how much of it we have or how much we can take depends on, you know, kind of how humanity or ourselves, if we'll survive to go forward. God gives us the actual reasons and the purposes for pain. And I can think of a few in here in particular that we see in God's Word pretty regularly. One is that pain is often a result of failure of some kind, whether, and we covered that last week, right? So it could be some kind of sin, it could be a mistake, it could be a misjudgment. These are things that are the results of the fall in Genesis, that we are in a fallen world, so pain is going to happen. And because we talked about that last week, I want to focus on these other two things. And the first of these that you see really commonly is that pain is often a weapon of war from the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8. So we're going to be here in 1 Peter 5 as well as 2 Corinthians 12 and then Ephesians 6 we'll get to in a second. 1 Peter 5:8, and we'll kind of run through most of these passages pretty often. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's from the Apostle Peter. Now Paul says in here, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, this is what we're getting at here, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. There's more going on than we realize. There's this ongoing struggle against evil, evil that wants to devour all people, especially Christians. Evil will do anything to, because it's not a battle of just us. Like we're kind of in this battle, but this is a battle with God. And so the enemy wants to rob God, will do anything to rob God of his glory. And God is most glorified in us when we are most joyful in him. And so the enemy then wants to rob our joy. And what better way to steal our joy than with suffering? If being robbed of your comforts or your pleasures or your preferences in this life steals your joy, what does that tell the people around us that we enjoy the most? It's not God. I'm not saying that there isn't room for grief and there isn't room for sorrow. God is very clear about that. And God knows that we need it. He has designed us needing those kind of things. But what does Job say in the midst of his sorrow? Losing all of his kids, Job 1:21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes we experience pain because we live in a fallen world in the midst of a battle between good and evil, between God and evil. And the way we handle it often reveals our heart, what truly matters most to us. And quite frankly, a lot of our problem with suffering is that we are spoiled. Again, some of these things I share are kind of seem kind of harsh, but understand, I'm just talking to myself. I mean, probably this message more than most that I have really looked at, but that's really the truth. Pain is kind of a relative thing. There are so many advances in healthcare and the economy even, and our living standard is so much more than it was even when I was a kid. And so any pain just seems amplified over what they used to be. Who here actually lived through, experienced the Great Depression? Yeah, folks, we got a few of those. Some here have had life so easy that any pain wrecks our faith. And it's really what that is a practical prosperity gospel. We may say, no, I don't buy into a prosperity gospel, but we live that way. You know, if we're not getting God's blessings, then either God isn't real or he doesn't care. And so I'm not saying that even the smallest pain doesn't matter to God. God knows your heart and he loves you. But I do want to expose our idols in all of this. As we look at pain, sometimes that's what pain helps us to do. God does not promise health, wealth, and prosperity, but he does say that he's going to take care of the basics. Are we really content with just that? What if that's all we had was just the bare necessities of what we need to live? Do we care more about God or do we care more about his blessings? Very honestly, there are a lot of times that I am afraid to pray for things like humility or just for more of God
because I am afraid of what I may have to go through, what I may have to lose to get it. Which kind of speaks to the second reason for pain, is that sometimes it's an instrument of mercy from God. It's why, you know, we ask the question, why did God allow that messenger of Satan to plague Paul? Go back to 2 Corinthians, you'll see it there, chapter 12, verse 7. It was to keep him from pride. Sometimes our pain and our suffering is God's mercy to protect us. Sometimes it's God's mercy to grow us. You know, I'm probably not a better looking guy because I'd just be too prideful, right? Which is just, I guess that's Judas, you know, thorn in the flesh that she has to put up with this, but still, I don't know what you're learning from this. Patience, I guess. Yeah, there we go. All right, but we grow from these things. I remember hearing Chip Ingram talked about how he had to be broken over the fact he's an incredibly gifted preacher and he knew it. And he had to fall and be hurt in some ways to realize that he had gotten lazy in his preaching because he was just good at it and didn't have to put a lot of effort into it. He had to be broken. I've talked about losing my younger sister, that as I saw her pain and I saw her faith in the midst of all of it, that increased my faith. Do you think that losing three unborn children has made me a better and more appreciative father? I think it's helped me to relate to other people. How many things like Paul have we prayed for yet not received as God's blessing to protect us? What if Paul had had that thorn in the flesh taken away and he became so big-headed that he was not impactful for the gospel at all? Would you welcome pain to know God more? That question has just been wrecking my mind for weeks now. Do we really believe that's worth it? And here's where I've got to go with that. We confront pain with the gospel in faith. Back to 2 Corinthians here. Now look in chapter 12, still verses 8 and 9. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, talking about that thorn in the flesh, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Because of the gospel he has, we can have a completely different perspective on life, on pain, on suffering. I want to test you now to see if you have been paying attention to these kind of themes that we talk about pretty often in the messages. What is the primary ability of the new man in Christ? Talked about it last week. It is dependence. That as Christians, we now depend on the Lord. The world says we got to be strong, we got to pull ourselves up, or either that or you give in and complain, give up. You avoid pain. But God says that weakness is the place to be, and if pain gets you to weakness, it's all worthwhile. And you can rejoice. If pain brings you to humility, you can rejoice in that, because when you are weak, God shines through you and the gospel goes forward. That's the point. The gospel says that we are not perfect, that pain and weakness then come in and they prove to us what the gospel says. They prove to us that we are not perfect. And so we can rest in Christ even with joy, knowing he's being glorified in the midst of it. Remember, though, the primary ability of the new man is dependence. And so we are not left alone to find joy in the midst of pain. I'm not saying that we enjoy pain, but we can still have joy in the midst of those times. Because God did more in the gospel than just save us from eternal punishment, from eternal separation from him. He set us up not just for eternity, but he sets us up for those who have trusted in Christ for salvation. He sets us up for this life in a couple of ways, too. First, he gives us the Holy Spirit that cries out to God, and whatever we're going through, the Holy Spirit is crying out for God, to God for more of him, crying out, and we look to Jesus, and then Jesus gets what we're going through. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus faced all kinds of pain and all kinds of loss. The shortest verse in the English Bible, y'all know what it is? Jesus wept. His friend died. He knew what was going to happen, but he wept because his friends were sad. He endured unfaithfulness. unfathomable pain at the cross and before it. He saw so much pain because he saw what was coming even before. And so the night before, he's praying that it'll be even taken from him, but he's willing to go through it. But he's in so much pain even then that he sweats blood. He knows what it is to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be hated, to be mistrusted, to be slandered, to be betrayed. And yet in the midst of all of it, he never sinned. He did all of it just right. And he gives his Holy Spirit to us to lead us to do the same thing. Where did he turn in the midst of his pain? He turned to the Father in prayer, and Paul tells us to do the same thing. Back now to the Ephesians passage, chapter 6 still, verses 18 to 20 now. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, pray for me too, that utterance, so here we go, what do we pray for him? That utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we pray in pain. We take it to God who has the power. We trust him. But what do we pray? What do we see here? Paul, he is praying by the Holy Spirit, and he's not praying by the flesh. He's praying then for the gospel to advance. Paul is sitting in prison in chains. Did he once there say, pray that I will be taken away from these chains? Now, I'm not saying, listen, you know, we've got Christians, especially pastors overseas, Africa and the Middle East in particular, that go to prison, go to jail for proclaiming their faith. I am not saying we don't pray for them to be delivered from that. But that's not our biggest prayer. He's sitting in prison. He doesn't ask for release. He wanted to be used for the gospel. And it's this new, eternal, Holy Spirit perspective that is really only available as a Christian who is trusting in Christ. It is not fleshly. Just that, you know, these things of deliverance, it's not that we can't pray for those, it's just that those are not the main focus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those are the things that we pray for first. I talk to missionaries, and they often tell me that one of the biggest frustrations for missionaries is very well-intentioned people who are very loving, but they say, you know what, I'm going to be praying first for your safety. You realize missionaries are not called to the field to go and find a comfortable life. We're not called to this mission field, wherever we are, to find a comfortable life either. These are people like we are supposed to do here, but they're called out to go and battle for the gospel. So know this, as you ask for prayer here, if you're filling out the card and asking for prayer here, I am committed to not just praying for your comfort and your healing. I'm going to pray for those things too, but I'm going to pray that your pain humbles you and grows you, that it grows others, that it gives you opportunities for the gospel. Praying in pain, too, hints at kind of the second gift that God has given us in salvation to persevere and to find joy and life even with pain, and that is the church. That's the big C church, the universal church, as well as right here. He's given us this local body of believers, one another. We're back at the 1 Peter passage now, chapter 5 still, now verse 9, but resist him, Satan, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Sometimes we can feel alone in our suffering, right? We have this idea that, you know, nobody can get it, nobody has been there, but you're not alone. Maybe the sufferings are different, but people go through pain. And while none of us, I think, would ever say, I want somebody else to suffer so that they can be with me in this, it's still comforting to know that it's not just us, that it's not that I've just been chosen for something terrible. It's this universal thing. And so in your pain, God has not abandoned you. And it is so far from him abandoning you. He wants you near to him, and our pain is what will draw us close. It's not abandonment. It's a plea to come near. And he has people here to help you with that. The church, your local church, the church is set up in part to walk through trials with one another. We get close to people. You've got to get close to people. You've got to open up, because that's the thing. Your church cannot be the church to you if you don't let us, if you don't let the one another happen. It's what our deacons are here for. As you're going through pain, and we've got these, I just pulled out pieces of a packet that we give to people that, you know, like kind of one at a time in this ongoing relationship. This is what our deacons are doing. They're trained to walk through pain and suffering and grief with you so that you don't have to do that alone. If you don't know who your deacons are, contact the office. You should have gotten a letter from them anyway. We want you to know who they are so you can go to them. The cool thing is there are a bunch of deacons that as we were approaching people the past 2 years about becoming deacons here, they were saying no until we said, you know, we really want to make sure the deacons are focusing on caring for people. And they jumped in because that's what they want to be doing. They are ready. They are trained to come alongside you. And I will tell you, too, that my greatest encouragements in some of the most difficult times of my life have just come from being around other Christians, from being in a small group or in discipleship relationships. Plug into those. Plug into relationships with other people. Don't do Christian life alone. So Christians, we rejoice in weakness. We rejoice in suffering and in pain as God is exalted because the primary ability of the new man in Christ is dependence. So where do you turn for comfort in your pain? Here's a kind of a follow-up question on that. You might even write this one down and think through it. Is comfort in your pain only the removal of pain? Because God has a lot more than that in mind. As we believe in, as we rest in the gospel, we confront pain with the gospel to thrive. Let's get back to these apostles here. Now we're back to Paul in 2 Corinthians, now chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Something you probably never expected to hear from me from the pulpit. At least I really hope you don't expect to hear from this from me, but I passionately affirm the prosperity gospel. I truly do. But I also want to be really, really clear. This is the part you really want to listen to because the other part sounds ridiculous without it. I'm talking about a vastly different kind of prosperity than most people mean when they think of a prosperity gospel. Paul prospered with weakness, with insults, with distress, with poverty, with persecution, with difficulty. He prospered in pain. How? Philippians 4, 11 through 13, which we often, so often take out of context. Not that I speak from want, this is Paul writing again, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Normally, we're just talking about I can throw an incredible touchdown pass or a really fast pitch or something here, right? That's not what this passage is about. He relied on Christ's strength. No matter what situation he was in, whether it's in really easy times or really tough times, he's relying on Christ's strength, not his own. He's not saying that he can accomplish any kind of grand task that he wants, although God can do all kinds of things, anything through us. But what he's talking about here is that he can persevere, that he can thrive in any circumstance, through any pain, because of the gospel. How does the gospel help us to thrive in the midst of pain? Gospel gives us hope. Let's look what Peter has to say back to 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Because of the gospel, Christians know that there is a better eternity to come. We dwell on this. This present suffering, no matter what you're going through, this present suffering won't last as Christians. All of our failures, our imperfections, our suffering, our insecurities, all of it is gone for those who trust in Christ for salvation. This life is not even a blip in the history when it's compared with eternity, and yet this life is still vastly important. Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. This life, this living, this is for Christ. One day we're going to be united, reunited with our loved ones who are in Christ, and all of it's going to be perfect. I desperately miss my little sister. And I would love to have her back, but only for myself and for family. You know, I'd love for Sean to meet her here. That would be wonderful. But she's better where she is. It'd be great for her to be here too, even with suffering, because to live is Christ. You get to go on glorifying him by the Holy Spirit. He's got a purpose for us. And that's the great thing, that while you're here, even in the midst of suffering, you know God has a purpose for us while we are here, and he prepares us to walk through it. Back now to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17, very familiar for many people. Therefore, this is how he prepares, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Whatever the enemy throws at us, we can stand firm by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God as we know God's truth. Where do we find God's truth? Here in God's word, right? We know his truth. We walk in obedience to his truth as we rest in the gospel with the hope of eternity to come, as we rest in what Jesus has already done for us and what he's going to do, what he is doing in us and through us, as we see him doing in other people's lives in Scripture. As all that happens, the gospel brings this whole new perspective to pain and provides power in the midst of that pain. Do you have a gospel perspective of pain, a true gospel perspective of pain? I want to read this devotional, another great one from Piper. It's decades old at this point, but it is called Words of Hope for a Baby Born Blind, and it's a letter to the parents. This is a letter actually from written to his church. He says, "Dear John and Diane, last night as I prayed with Noel, you were heavy on my mind." Noel is his wife. "I said, oh Lord, please let me be a pastor who preaches and leads and loves in a way that makes the impossibilities of life possible for your people by a miracle of sustaining grace. Help me to know the weight and pain of this life and not to be breezy when the mountains have fallen into the sea. Help me to have the aroma of Christ's sufferings about me, prevent shallowness and callousness to pain. Oh Lord, make me and my people a burden-bearing people." That's what we want to be here. "Oh, John and Diane, I am so heavy with your child's sightlessness. God is visiting Bethlehem," that's their church, "with such pain these days in the birth of broken children. Randy and Ann Erickson with their baby's broken heart. Jan and Rob Barrett with their baby's all too short one day life. And your precious little one. Is the Lord saying I have a gift for your community? This is not one or two or three couples' burdens. This is a gift and call to the whole church. This is a word concerning the brokenness of this fallen age of futility. This is an invitation for all of us to believe that here we have no lasting city," Hebrews 13:14. "This is an invitation for us to count every gain as loss for the sake of Christ," it's Philippians 3:7. "This is a shocking test to see if we will lose heart when, in fact, God's purpose is to show that his grace is sufficient to renew our inner person every day to deal with the slight momentary affliction which is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. "Lord, open our eyes to love, to your love in this pain. Open our eyes," then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. 2 Kings 6:17. John and Diane, the mountains surrounding your lives are filled with horses and chariots of God. Only to the eyes of unbelief does the devil have the upper hand here. God is at work in ways and for years and generations and millions of people that we cannot now imagine. This is ours to believe and to bear no matter the cost. This is ours for this short life. It seems to me that this life is a proving ground for the kingdom to come. Some are asked to devote 40 or 50 years to caring for a handicapped child instead of breezing through life without pain. Others are asked to be blind all their lives. But only in this life, only in this life, I want to be that kind of the kind of person who makes that only what it really is. Very short. Prelude to the infinity of joy, joy, joy. But not yet. Not entirely. How will we ever cope with the burdens of this life if we believe this is all there is? Or even that this is the main act in the drama of reality? Oh Lord, give us your view of things. May God fill you with anticipated joy. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Romans 8:18. So I love you, Pastor John. My challenge to you this week is that you would just intentionally focus in your prayer time on specifically praying scripture for people this week, especially yourselves, not just praying for our desires. So if you were not experiencing pain right now, you're going to before long. That's the human existence. And I can't tell you that Jesus is going to take away all of that pain just yet. And anyone who says anything other than that, they are either seriously misguided or they are lying to you and trying to get something. But you can't have sure, absolute hope that he will take it away one day. And you can know that your pain is not pointless, that God is working for the good, that he is forming you. Those who are in Christ is who I'm talking to here. He is forming you, that he is working this perfect plan in a very imperfect world. And so you can rest as you grieve. And God has given us one another to help. We are here for you in your grief and in your pain. Don't go at it alone. It is a blessing. It is a privilege. It is an honor to walk through it with you. So many times I get these phone calls of the pastor where people just say, I'm so sorry to bug you about this. And you're not bugging me. That's what I love about this. I get to be there with people even in tough times. That's only effective if we will share the pain, turn to Christ with him. We are here for you. In just a minute, several of us as pastors, we're going to walk out of the back of these doors with our wives and we'll be there to talk to you about your pain, to pray with you through it. You've got to take the step of actually initiating that so we know. That's what the prayer cards are for in your bulletin, is so we can be praying with you and for you. Understand, too, for some of you who are not believers, who don't know the Lord, for the people around you who don't know the Lord, they don't have this hope. If you want that hope, listen, if you want to know the hope, to know that, man, this pain, that there is a purpose to it, if you want to let it be used for your growth and know that there is something far better. I don't expect that after a message that you have just affirmed that everything here is true, but I want to show you that it is. And again, we as pastors and others are going to be out here, the people around you, ready to talk to you about the truth of Christ, how he saves us for eternity, and how we walk differently in this life because we are different people who are dependent on him. We are there for you, and if for some reason you can't find us out there, you can mark it on your info card, turn that into an usher or a Dropbox. We want to connect with you. That starts with you. I want to pray in a second, and then we'll begin to sing, and that is your time to just come and find hope in the midst of pain. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you. Thank you for pain. Thank you that so many of us suffer, that we lose things, that times are tough, and because in the midst of that, it shows us things that are more important. It helps us to grow. It helps us to draw near to you. It helps us to even have faith. And I know that the world can't understand this, and that's just right, because the world is against you. So God, show us your church in here by your Holy Spirit. May it break through all the things that the world tells us so that we trust in what your word tells us. As we walk through pain, that we would walk through it together, that we would walk through it with you, looking at the future hope of glory in the present, and that to die is gain in the present, here to live is Christ, and how you will use and can use this pain, this suffering, this loss for your kingdom purposes. May we rejoice in that and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
All the way, blessed. All the way. My Savior needs me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Every peace, divinest comfort, hear my faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er he call me, Jesus, with all.
We have hope. We have life eternal to look forward to spend with you. Lord, may the present trials and persecutions and difficulties that we face be for your glory, to grow us and to mold us more like you, because we have you to look forward to. So we give you praise today. We thank you and pray even so, Lord Jesus, come. For it's in your Son's mighty and powerful name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. It's time to go.